Welcome to The Dental Brief, the world's direct, right-to-the-point podcast produced to get you the information you need to learn and grow your practice. To learn more about our guests and find links to information discussed on our show, visit our website, dentalbrief.com. On to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief. Today, we have with us a very special guest. Say hello, Dr. Wally Renee.
Hey, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. This is a fun topic, and I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure our audience is excited to hear what you have to share today. Let's start by sharing, how did you get into dentistry? How did you become a dentist?
You know, the story is actually quite funny. I have two main reasons that I got into dentistry, and none of them are your typical reasons why one would get into dentistry. I never grew up and dreamed that I wanted to be a dentist like most dental school applicants put on their application. I got into dentistry because my wife wanted to be a dentist, and I wanted to go to school with her for those 4 years. We went to college together for 4 years before that. And I thought it would be a fun journey because I love science and I had a really strong background in molecular biology and genetics. And I was like, man, this might be a way to apply all that knowledge that I gained in the life sciences into an application. So I kind of followed my wife. And secondly, I was working as a dental assistant, not because I liked dentistry, but because I needed money.
Sure.
and I was working for almost two years as a dental assistant full time. And it's backbreaking work. It's one of the hardest jobs I ever had in my life. And the dentist taught me the value of chairside communication and how to deal with patients and how to do things quick and efficient. And so those two kind of things combined with my wife wanting to go into dentistry and my background as a dental assistant, I just decided to go for it.
That's awesome. So let's talk about kind of what you're doing now a little bit. So you're with Desktop Health, correct?
Yep.
How'd you end up on this? How'd you end up where you're at right now?
Yeah. So, you know, I was for about 15 years in academics as a full professor and assistant dean of innovation and digital dentistry at one of the major universities in the United States. And my academic background was fun in that I got to do a lot of research and use the latest technology to care for patients and try to teach the next generation on how to do that. And what I saw happening as I had my finger on the pulse of everything digital through my relationships with various different manufacturers in my role at the university, I saw 3D printing as being the next big thing that our profession gets to adopt to advance patient care. And so I wanted to take a bigger part in the evolution of how dentists are going to use 3D printers for patient care. And Desktop Health, what I saw with them was they're focusing on science and chemistry and chemists, and they're releasing the best polymers, the best materials. And I wanted to be a part of that company because, you know, some companies are all flash and show. But I saw what they were doing on the science side with my research background, and I had to jump on board and help push our profession to the next level.
Sure. Well, awesome businesses are always created, right? And always kind of come out of like a challenge or a need or a lack in an area. What are some of the big challenges that you see that dentists are facing? And we'll get into kind of the solutions that you have for those problems. But what are some of the big problems that you've seen?
Yeah, as an educator, the first big problem that I see is this paradigm shift occurring in dental schools where students aren't really getting out with the type of advanced experiences that maybe dentists of yesteryear did. I mean, students are getting out with scraping by kind of with the bare minimum experiences. And that's causing a kind of a paradigm shift where they get out and they're kind of scared. So they join corporate because they feel like they're going to have a great venue to be able to not only get some education, but also practice in a safe environment. So that's causing a kind of a shift as I see it in the profession, because dentists wanting to retire and sell their practice, the students getting out aren't really ready for that, nor do they financially want to take on that responsibility because they're loaded with, you know, $500,000 of debt. already before they even step out the door from the dental schools. And they're learning, unfortunately, at many institutions around the nation, antiquated techniques and technologies that aren't really where dentistry is at today. And so the biggest challenge that I see facing dentists is, number one, with all that debt, is how can you adopt new technologies into your practices that make you more efficient without causing you to spiral down into a larger debt? And how do you get education and training on how to utilize that technology to the maximum efficiency for your patients? And so 3D printing, in my mind, is a really good way to step into digital dentistry and with a pretty low overhead of financial commitment. So it's kind of that gateway digital dentistry technology that a lot of dentists are getting tiptoeing into.
So tell me, what are some things that you see coming down the road or that maybe you've even recently that are going to help dentists? What are some of those 3D technologies that are helping dentists now and are going to continue to do that in their future?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what digital dentistry is able to do for the average dentist, it's mind-boggling. Like, for example, take just like the smile consultation appointment. You know, the way I was taught in dental school is you snap some alginates and you fire it off to a laboratory. You wait about 2 weeks and then you get some wax up back. And then you hold this wax up model and you show the patient. And, you know, they're about to invest a significant amount of money. Well, utilizing modern technology, that whole paradigm is completely shifted to where the patient comes in, you snap some photographs, you throw them onto artificial intelligence software that looks at their pupillary line, their midline, it measures their facial thirds, and it throws in the best fit smile for that individual. Then you're able to use augmented reality to show them what that smile would look like instantly. And what's even more impressive is now you can just hit a button and 3D print that smile out for them and then transfer that to their mouth that same visit. So they're leaving not only seeing what was possible virtually through augmented reality, but then in physically through 3D printing, you could transfer that to their mouth.
That's amazing. I mean, you think about it, you think about case, we have people come on the show and talk about case acceptance a lot. And I think it's really important. It's really big. But can you imagine if you were promoting a sports car, if you were trying to sell a sports car to someone and they were like, what does it look like? And you're like, don't worry about it. It's going to look really good. Right. It's going to be nice. It's going to look fast. You're going to look great in it. You're going to love the way that you look in it. We drop $50,000 on it. No one's going to buy that. No sane person is going to buy that. But yet we expect people to do that, or we expect them to wait weeks, right, to actually get an idea. And then it's only going to be an idea. It's not going to be nearly as creditable as actually seeing it.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. You're exactly right. We would never go to a dealership and not test drive a car before we bought it.
Right.
We could test drive smiles now. We could rapid prototype and print various iterations of the same smile for the patient. It's so fun to do as well. It's not stressful. You take control of those processes. You could keep them in-house. And more importantly, you could decrease costs. It doesn't cost hardly anything to 3D print a smile out. And there's materials that are on the market now that are gorgeous. When you print that shell provisional or that snap-on smile that the patient could take home and test drive, show their family, you're all in for like $10 on that. It's incredible that you have the ability to do that without going down this spiraling cost structure where you're all in for a lot of money before the patient signs on the dotted line.
That's right. And then let's talk about to be candid, I've been going through ortho for a year and a half. And, you know, next step for me could be potentially some veneers, right? Maybe just the front four type of thing. I've kind of decided that, hey, I'm going to have a really good smile before I die. right. So, but I'm nervous. I literally wonder, like, am I going to get this? And everyone else is going to think it looks good. And I think it looks terrible. Is that a possibility? I have to think that's a common occurrence, right? That patients think. So they just say no, because they're not 100% sure. But if you can test drive for a period of time, you know, if you're going to like it or not. So does this actually help? I mean, it has to help with patient satisfaction, right? It has to help with reviews, reputation, referrals.
100%. It's a game changer for case acceptance rate. And I don't like to say that we sell dentistry. That's not the right word to use. It's more using the technology to make sure that the patient understands what they're getting into. And when you do that at a high level, and patients are confident, like you said, that what they're going to get into is something that they want, they're more likely to go through with the process.
Sure. Yeah, that's fantastic. So give me another thing. What else? What other cool tricks do you guys to kind of have up your sleeves for dentists to help build their practices?
I mean, the materials that we're printing with now, you know, we're printing definitive occlusal appliances out of phenomenal materials. We're able to print veneers and dentures and partial dentures and crowns and, you know, desktop health with they have a material called Flexera, which I don't know if you've heard of it. It's one of the newer materials on the market. It has ceramic nanoparticles mixed in with a new chemistry. So it's not your old BisGMA methacrylate chemistry. It's a new oligomer chemistry. And what that means basically in lay terms that it's three times stronger than anything that we had before to print. And it's more color stable. So we used to print teeth and be like, you know, it's a good temporary, they'll look good for a few days, but you know, that's about all you could do. And it was more like a trial smile. But now we're getting to the point where maybe we could print final smiles. And that's super exciting because the all-in cost on that is not high for the dentist to get into.
Yeah. So let's talk about Desktop Health. It's the website. Check it out, desktophealth.com, correct?
Yep.
All right, Dr. Renee. So last question. So you're not the only ones involved in this, right? So if a dentist wants to you know, learn more, if they want to check you guys out, what are some questions that they should be asking as far as, you know, before they make large purchases, before they make large commitments? What are some questions that they should be asking these companies they talk to?
You know, before you dive into any technology and workflow change for that matter, you want to make sure that you're ready, that you have the team around you that's going to support you. You know, if a dentist just buys a new gadget and throws it in the office without having buy-in from the team, it's going to be difficult to implement that. So you want to get your team members pumped up and excited about 3D printing occlusal guards or dentures or whatever it is that you want to print in your office. And then invest in some education around that. You know, Desktop Health has fantastic customer support and training. So you're not going to be left alone in your journey of adopting this technology, because it can be overwhelming if you're just kind of left alone and nobody tells you how to handle the technology in your office. And that's one thing I think that's a big differentiator with Desktop Health, is they take education very seriously. And they have a lot of avenues for individuals to learn more.
Dr. Renee, so thankful to have you here. It's exciting. It's fun. Really glad to have you here. Thank you very much. I want to have our audience check out your website. It's desktophealth.com. Really easy to remember, desktophealth.com. Dr. Renee, thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Did you know you can weigh in on today's topic on Facebook? Search The Dental Brief on Facebook or visit our website, dentalbrief.com, and just follow the link. We look forward to having you join us again on another episode of The Dental Brief.